evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday, the 13th, I do believe, the 13th of November. Is that possible? 13th of November. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from a very wet, sloppy, cold Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, I had to be out in this mess today, slopping around, as I say, in this without a hat. It's amazing I'm alive, but alive I am, much to the dismay of many. Well, I have a whole pile of clippings here in front of me. Just some odds and ends that things that kind of amused me or horrified me or just jumped out at me as all examples of the mind-bending process of the mass media. Some of this stuff you may say, so what? Not important. Big deal. But I just kind of thought it was interesting. And I'm going to go through that with you for a few minutes after we come back from the break. In the meantime, I have to say, I frankly had a rollicking good time last evening listening to the debate on this program between one of our callers, actually several of our callers, debating one another, and one of them, Dave from Massachusetts, basically siding with Mark Glenn. Very controversial show last night. Mark Glenn was basically giving the Old Testament hell. Well, and of course, a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people think the Old Testament is just grand. Well, you know what? What's nice about it, folks, is everybody has the right to believe what they want to believe in this country. And like I said last night, the issue that was being debated really will never be resolved because, let's face it, you know, just like they always said, we're going to get all the patriots together under one umbrella. Never happened. Never happened. There's a lot of patriots that would never want to be under the same umbrella as Michael Collins Piper. Yeah, a few years ago, I remember hearing that one prominent patriot broadcaster refused to endorse Ted Pike's video on hate crimes, or maybe it was Why the Middle East Bleeds. I forget. One of Ted's great videos. He said, I could never endorse anything that Michael Collins Piper has endorsed. He didn't want to be called an anti-Semite, I guess. You know, they're bad people, anti-Semites. But in any case, as I say, the theological argument about who's Israel and who isn't, and whether the Germans are Israel and whether, well, I guess Mark Glenn isn't because he's half Arab, which does make him a Semite. Semite, that is, ladies and gentlemen. I'm being facetious. But be that as it may, I thought it was kind of an interesting intellectual discussion. But, you know, there's a very real, you know, pushing aside all the theology and the history. I think it's important, as I prefaced my remarks yesterday, or prefaced the show yesterday by pointing out that the fact is the whole history of the Middle East and the question of religion as it relates to the Middle East, after all, it is the Holy Land. Some would say the unholy land, considering the devastation wrought by the Jewish occupation of Palestine. But the Holy Land is integral to the course of world affairs. And it's in the Holy Land, it's in the Middle East, that now the United States is embroiled and perhaps even poised to become involved in yet another war with Iran. Be a very big test for Mr. Barack Obama. Stay tuned, folks.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our homestead collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Pfeiffer here. Not to beat a dead horse, but I will say just once again that this whole appointment of Rahm Emanuel as White House Chief of Staff is most distressing, so to speak. The guy is, well, I don't need to tell you how bad a character this guy Rahm Emanuel is, but I'll tell you, I saw something very revealing here on Capitol Hill the other day. Talking to two casual acquaintances of mine, I know a lot of people around Capitol Hill from the bars and restaurants, a very small neighborhood type thing, so you get to know a lot of people on a casual basis. And these two people in particular are both hardline Democrats who believe, you know, that there's nothing like the Democratic Party and Republicans in general are rotten and, you know, thank God Barack Obama has now saved America. But, you know, it's very, very interesting. These people are going to start making excuses for Barack Obama if Barack Obama begins to carry out policies, particularly in the foreign realm, that would echo or mimic that of the Bush administration. These people who would say George Bush's intentions toward Iraq or Iran were bad will suddenly find a reason to justify it under Barack Obama. The hypocrisy of such people knows no bounds. And these are just hardcore people who believe Democrat is good, Republican is bad. Well, there are no absolutes. I used to have utter contempt for professional liberals, but you know, I'll tell you what, I've developed an equal contempt for professional conservatives as well, because I've seen them in action in some of these conservative groups here in Washington. They're just not very nice people. Of course, politicians aren't in general. Regarding Barack Obama, it's kind of interesting. I was listening to the program the other night, and Steve from Chicago called in. Seemed distressed that I guess he wanted us to comment. He wanted Mark Glenn and I to comment. Mark was taking calls regarding the focus of the show. Steve was interested in the fact that a German politician had made some comment to the effect that that here in the United States, the Jews and the blacks had gotten together to put Obama in the presidency. Well, the fact is, if you start looking at it, you can say that the Jews and the blacks and the Hispanics and the Catholics got together to put him in the presidency. I'm not sure what it all means. If you look back upon past administrations, in fact, the Jews and the blacks generally have always voted Democrat, and any time a Democrat has won, you could actually say the Jews and the blacks got together to put a Democrat in the White House. My old friend, Dr. Robert Brock, the black nationalist, once told me, he explained the origins of the, in his perception, the origins of the black-Jewish alliance, which, of course, has been strained over the years, and justifiably so, because blacks choose to be independent of their Jewish overlords, their masters. But Brock told me, and I thought quite interestingly, he said, you wonder why we got together with the Jews, talking about the blacks in general, and he says, because he said, we sit back, and he says, we see how you majority white folks allow the Jews to take over your country and run everything. So who do you think we're going to side with? Ah, well. Talk about race, talk about liberalism. Hilarious item today. You know, Bobby Jindal is this governor of Louisiana who is a Republican. He's an American of Indian descent, that is, from India. Apparently is a convert to Roman Catholicism. What's interesting, the Washington Post says, oh, so cheerfully, that Jindal is one of the Republican Party's brightest hopes for ethnic outreach. Now, you tell me how an Indian American is one of the party's brightest hopes for ethnic outreach. Are you here to tell me, Washington Post, that Hispanic Americans, Latino Americans, whatever you want to call them, Americans, are going to really be enthralled by somebody from India? Well, this is no insult to people from India, but don't get me wrong if there's any listeners out there. But I'm just pointing out here that, you know, Indians are not blacks, are not Chinese, are not Latinos, are not this, are not that. I don't quite see how an Indian is a bright hope for ethnic outreach for the Republican Party. But my point is that these are these kind of little things that you see in the mainstream media that, you know, there's this odd little twist on things. Here's a funny one. This is classic, folks. A headline from the Washington Times. It's an Associated Press story, but the headline in the Washington Times says, Tehran test fires rocket with range to hit Israel. Oh, my God. When you see that headline, you're supposed to say, oh, my God. Now, the Iranians say that this missile is for defense. But, of course, nothing the Iranians say is to be believed if we are to believe the mass media here in the United States. And, of course, the mass media constantly manages to put an Israel-centric twist on anything reported about Iran. Well, I am going to Iran, ladies and gentlemen. That's where I'll be next week. I'll be there for a week. And I enjoyed visiting the country previously when I was at the great and most infamous International Holocaust Conference, but this will be an international conference of journalists invited to come to Iran and meet one another and meet with the Iranian officials and try to understand the Iranian press system. So I'm looking forward to it, folks. And I appreciate the efforts of of my friend Nadir Talebzadeh, Iranian filmmaker who helped make my visit possible. This Muslim filmmaker, ladies and gentlemen, has produced a film, a loving, devoted film dedicated to the life of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Now, yes, a Muslim filmmaker has done a movie about Jesus Christ. It's a very loving film. I met the actor who played Jesus Christ when I was in Iran. I met him the last time. I've told this story before, but it's worth telling again. This young Muslim actor, I want to tell you folks, sitting there with him watching this film, which is actually, I would say, one of the best ever films about the life of Christ, particularly his last days. In many respects, I must tell you, better than Mel Gibson's film. Sitting there with this actor, I swear to you folks, I shouldn't swear in this context, but let's put it this way. I actually felt as though I were in the presence of somebody very deeply spiritual, shall we say. And what is so interesting about it is that after this Iranian Muslim actor portrayed Jesus Christ in this fabulous film, which I wish Americans could see, and I'm going to try to talk to Nadir about making it available here in the United States. This young Muslim actor went then to the Holy Land and traced the steps of Jesus Christ. Contrast that young Muslim actor and this beautiful film, this loving film about Jesus Christ, with the hellish garbage about Jesus Christ that appears in that infamous and foul book known as the Talmud. How many of your Christian friends know that those Muslims that they hate so much revere Jesus Christ as a great prophet, and that the Jewish people who believe in the teachings of Judaism, which of course, thank God, not all Jews do, God bless those Jews who reject that hellish garbage in the Talmud. How many of your friends know that those are the teachings of the Talmud? Not many, I'm sure. Well, this is funny. Claude Salhani, editor of the Middle East Times, has a commentary about the Obama administration and Rahm Emanuel, and he's saying that, well, give Barack Obama a chance. Don't base everything on the fact that he put Rahm Emanuel in as chief of staff. And I said essentially that the other day. It's a bad scene there, but you know, he hasn't become president yet. But in any case, what's interesting is Salhani says one journalist claims that Mr. Emanuel served in the Israeli army. He says, and that he was an officer in the Mossad. Well, Salhani says, let's avoid shooting from the hip. If there is proof of those accusations, produce them. If not, keep your peace. Well, I'm absolutely astounded that this Claude Salhani, who is constantly popping up in the press, would not know that it's just a known fact that Rahm Emanuel served in the Israeli Defense Forces, and yet Mr. Salhani writes as though to even say it is some sort of evil conspiracy theory. Again, it's this strange little attitude that we get in the press. Funny little things that betray the bias. Another little story. We are going to the break, folks. We don't have time for another little story. All right, this is Michael Collins Piper. We're lining up with some callers here, so we will eventually get around to the phone. Stay tuned.
Cartivite is probably the most misunderstood supplement today. Cartivite is packed full of vitamins at cell level to help your whole body function like it used to. Today's diet is lacking in the trace minerals and nutrients our body needs to maintain our good health. Get the toxins and heavy metals out and allow your body to do the job God intended. Made for the heart, Cardvite helps in so many other ways. So order your 4-month special of either the capsules or tincture for just $125 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. That toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. Cardvite, circulation for life.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? The world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press newspaper. Do check out American Free Press on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. I was in the American Free Press office this afternoon briefly. And one of our editors there, Chris Petherick, former managing editor, now writing regularly for American Free Press, doing some internet work for us, some promotional efforts. He taped a, I looked like hell, frankly, but he taped a promotional piece that I did for American Free Press and incidentally also for the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I just wanted to mention that because on there I say very, very clearly that republicbroadcasting.org is where it's at as far as alternative independent broadcasting is concerned, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think you're going to find anything better anywhere else. It's an established network. It has a proven track record. John and Sandra Stattmiller have done a hell of a job keeping this alive, despite some tough odds, including a most distressing, there we go again, most distressing attempt to sabotage from within. So give republicbroadcasting.org all of the support you can. And when I say support, I do mean cash. If you have some spare cash, some people actually do, believe it or not. If you have some spare cash, please make a donation to Republic. You may not like everything that's on this network, but hey, you probably don't like everything your husband or wife has to say either, but you still stay with him or with her, as the case may be. Well, you know, I'm no fan of Sarah Palin, Sweet Sarah, as I call her. Pretty woman, I guess. I go back and forth on that. A lot of people do. But in any case, it appears as though maybe the big scandal about her clothing was overstated in the media. It's still not clear to me, but again, you know, things, false stories do take on a life of their own, and you just can't beat them with a stick. You just can't put those fires out. So whether or not Sarah's clothing scandal is as terrible as they say it was, well, we may well never know, because her version is completely different from the version that we're hearing everywhere else in the media. Just a comment of no consequence one way or the other, but possibly of consequence in the context that that's why we need an alternative media like republicbroadcasting.org, and we have it, and it's our job to support it fully. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We've got republicbroadcasting.org, ladies and gentlemen. Free archives. Most of our listeners, I'm told, actually listen to this program on the archives. By the way, those of you who, a couple people have said to me, aren't you afraid to go to Iran? The Israelis might attack. I doubt very much the Israelis, although as bad as they are, I doubt the Israelis would attack during a time when there's an international press exposition. That would end up killing a lot of journalists from a lot of places. But I will say this much. If the Israelis should choose to attack Iran while I'm there, they better kill me. Because if they don't, I guarantee you there will be hell to pay. There will be hell to pay. Well, I guess we're going to go to the phones here, folks. We have a couple minutes or a minute or so before the break. Let's go to Texas with Lane.
George, your show as always. I just wanted to comment on, I guess I've been listening with amusement for the last couple of nights to the little shootout between Mark and Dave from Texas. I believe, wasn't it Dave from Texas?
No, Mark and Keith from Indiana.
Okay.
You got the gist of it anyway, yeah.
I have to say that I think Mark needs to do some more studying. I guess that's about the nicest possible way I could phrase that.
I tell you what, as Mark knows well, there have been many who have said that.
I just felt that these guys were correct, and I wanted to, I hope they're listening out there. I'm going to tell them that, you know, they know they're right. I just hate to hear, on the first night when Mark was hosting the show, we kind of got the last word in I won't say it was a rude ending, but, I guess it was Keith just didn't ever get another word in.
That's part of the problem here. You know, when the music starts to play, means adios. So, as they say down in Texas.
But last night, and I don't remember which one, if it was, I think Dave did call in. I think he was the one that made the point that Mark had said, well, why would Yahweh, if he's such a just God, tell the Israelites just to go wipe out all these people, man, woman, and children, and animals, and everything. And he made a comment, I believe it was Dave, said that, well, if the Israelites had done exactly what Yahweh told them to do, we wouldn't be having all these problems that we're having today. Man, that was a great point.
Actually, that was Keith. That
Keith,
was Keith,
okay,
from Indiana.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, Dave from Massachusetts and Keith from Indiana are starkly in disagreement.
Okay.
Right.
Get my names mixed up. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank
all
you.
All right, Lane, thanks for your call. Okay, good to hear from you. All right, folks, we're going to the break. Stay tuned. We've got some callers lined up. We're going to California in a minute with Ariel. We'll find out.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, fen, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're going to go to the phones here in a minute. You know, just a comment. I'm just thinking here, you know, we have this tight Senate race up there in Minnesota. We have left-wing liberal Al Franken, and we have quote-unquote right-wing conservative, although I don't know how right-wing or how conservative he is, this guy Coleman, whose name is first name, Norm Coleman. Kind of interesting. These guys disagree on everything except one thing. They both just absolutely love Israel. Yeah. You know, I was at the Iranian interest section. It's part of the Pakistani embassy. The Iranians have an office in Washington. You know, we don't have official diplomatic relations with them, but they get to have an interest section, as they call it. And, you know, it struck me, it was a reminder to me, something that I noted when I had been in Iran before and when I had been at the Iranian interest section here in Washington. And it recalled my numerous Iranian friends in college. There were a lot of Iranian students when I was in college. And, you know, they're very nice people in general. Very nice people, and yet, of course, the average American, you don't know how many of my friends, and I'm not just talking about the big shot lawyer, I'm talking about friends of mine who are just horrified by the idea that I would go to Iran. Oh, good Lord, how horrible. I mean, you know, they're terrorists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they say. Anyway, we're going to California with, well, what is your name, California?
Yeah, it's Arian.
Arian. How's that spelled? Yeah. A-R-E-O-N?
A-R-Y-A-N.
Oh, they haven't spelled. Oh, okay. All right, there we go. That's why I wanted to find out. How you doing, Arian?
I'm all right. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
All right.
Hey, listen, I was curious. Are you someone who believes that the Jewish people control America, basically?
No, as a matter of fact, I don't. What I believe is that they have a preponderant influence. I don't think they're absolutely in control. A lot of people think they're absolutely in control. I don't think they are. I think they're reaching for absolute power. They desire absolute power, not only over the United States, but over the world.
The Jews want power over the United States and the world?
I believe so. Generally, yes. I believe that's been, as I see it from my study, and my study is extensive, I have read the works of quote-unquote great Jewish writers, as they call them, who have said such things.
I mean, couldn't you make the same argument for some Muslims?
I suppose you can make that argument for a lot of people. I suppose that the Mormons would like to rule the world.
I mean, why single out?
But there's a very big difference. There's a very big difference from the standpoint of myself as an American citizen. I don't see that the Muslims have that much power in America. And I don't see that the Serbian Americans have that much power in America, or the Croatian Americans, or the Japanese Americans, or the Chinese Americans.
Well, I mean, if you take into consideration that roughly, I correct me if I'm wrong, but roughly about 2% of America is Jewish.
Right.
And I'm not saying they have no power. I will acknowledge there are many Jewish people who are in the media, and many who are wealthy, and many who are maybe just prominent in general. But I mean, to say that because there are Jewish people who want power, or you assume they want power, or desire world power, I mean, to make it seem, that's one thing, but to make it seem like they're having an influence and they want power of America, isn't that kind of like a conspiracy theory?
It's not a matter of conspiracy. I mean, it's just a matter of, in this case, it's a matter of fact. And, you know, what you find, now let's be honest about this. The Greek-American community has always been fairly affluent, but they have never exercised raw political power as the Jewish community has done in this country. The Chinese-American community is very affluent. The Korean-American community is very affluent.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking in generalizations here.
But I think what I mean is, remember, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that Jewish people are not high up in power, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, they're in the media, they're wealthy, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying, as it is, they're in the media, they're wealthy. Some of them are prominent, some of them are prominent. But when you say things like there are people who you've read books about who want power, or imply they want power, or want power in some way, I'm not denying that either. But to take that and run with it and make it seem like, well, you know what, they want to have an influence and rule over America and rule over the world in general, aren't you having a little bit of an overgeneralization?
Not if you read, as I say, some of the... I would recommend to you the book Jews, God, and History by Max Diamont, D-I-M-O-N-T. His book has been called the best ever popular history of the Jewish people, and he's a highly regarded popular historian, obviously.
So if you had to take an educated guess, would you say that whatever, I think 2% of America is Jewish, would you say that 2% wants in the back of their, you know, in their house, in their closet, in the back of their mind, they want control over America and the world, and they're trying to do it quietly and sneakily?
I don't think that every Jew sits around and says, let's see, how can we go out and get power today? But as the Jewish community functions as a community, it is a constant grasp for more and more influence, and in particular, I mean, to what extent?
Well, if you had to take an educated guess, I realize this might be a tough question, but if you had to take a guess, just a guess, what would you say the percentage of the Jewish population wants this power? Like, really? I mean,
you
like,
know
I'm
what it
be...
is? I'll tell you what it is. That's a very good question. That's a very good question. I would have to say that it's, and I may be misusing the term here, but it's kind of a sense that I have that there's some osmosis there, that there is this, if you read the Jewish newspapers, which circulate in the Jewish community, there is this there's this euphoria, there's this hubris that, oh, you know, we're getting more and more members of the House and the Senate, even though we are less than 2% of the population, or we have influence over Barack Obama, or we. It's always we.
Well, you know,
all you need to do is read Jewish community newspapers, and you get.
But you know, the difference is, like, for example, you can make an argument, and I'm trying to be fair here. You can make an argument that people in different ethnic groups, for example, want power. I assume there are Mexicans who want to take over California, for example. I'm just giving an example. Or there are people who are black, they want, you know, the Nation of Islam, they want their own part of the country. Maybe even people from China want America to become Chinese. But isn't there a difference between people who have just a desire, you know, I would like my people to be more prominent, and the difference between that and saying, oh, you know what, there's actually a bigger grasp, they want to have more of an influence, and they really, really, really want power.
But the bottom line, unless I'm wrong.
Tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong.
Well, the bottom line of it is the Jews do have a lot of power. Now, of course, you know, I read in the Jewish press, it's kind of interesting to read the Jewish press. On the one hand, they say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory to say that Jews have power. And then in the next column, you will see another Jewish writer bragging about how much Jewish power there is in the United States. I mean, all you got to do is go to Jewish sources and see the frenzied hubris on the part of these writers. And you know, there's another thing.
You're
too.
Not just talking about, like, just regular internet sources. Like, you know, this is Joe's Blue website who says, hey, I want Jewish power.
No. I'm talking about mainstream established Jewish newspapers. Go to Forward.com. That's a perfect example. Forward is must reading for anyone who wants to understand the mindset. It's the most respected, one of the oldest Jewish community newspapers in America. Perhaps I would say one of the most influential. No, we're not talking about some, you know, odd little website here or there. No, we're talking the mainstream Jewish press, and you really do need to read it. And I will say this about it. I've said this many, many times over the years. When I was working for the Spotlight newspaper in particular, we used to receive a lot of newspapers published from various ethnic communities around the United States, you know, Polish-American newspapers, Ukrainian-American newspapers, Russian-American. I mean, we received the gamut. And what was interesting about all of those newspapers is that they were all very proud of their heritage, worked hard to build community within that community. They were very proud of their accomplishments. But, you know, you turn to Jewish newspapers, and it's largely a compendium of who the Jews hate and who the Jews think hates them. And as I always say,
There are people who hate the Jews. I mean, come on.
Well, but, you know, as I told a Jewish friend of mine, I said, you know, I'd hate to be Jewish because getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror and thinking about my enemies and who I hate and who I think might hate me or potentially will hate me, that's a hell of a way to start the day.
If that's how most Jews live in America, come on. That's like
most Jews live in America. How do they live? What do you
think? Is it really that bad? Like the way you mentioned, that's a hell of a way to live?
Do you
in America in general live like that?
I'm sorry. Yes, I think so. I think so. There is this, yes. I think so. There's this inordinate sensitivity and demand that there are certain ways you're allowed to discuss Jewish influence, and it's always dictated by the Jewish community. If you certainly, you know, you constantly see these politicians getting their butts in the sling because they try to make these pitches to the Jewish community, and then they kind of stumble because they don't have the lingo right. You know,
how do you explain, by the way, that, you know, Jewish people have been in America for a while, and you know, whether what you're saying is true or not, the bottom line is there hasn't been a Jewish president, there hasn't been any Jewish people in general doing psychotic things to America. I mean, I'm sure some guys on a call are saying, no, they did this, they did that, they did this, but in general, they haven't done anything really that bad.
Well, we haven't had a Jewish president, but we've had a president who has been a shameful shameful and shameless water carrier for Jewish interests, and his name is George W. Bush.
But then, I mean, you really think Bush is like, what, did he do it purposely? Did he do it unintentionally?
Yes.
Did he not know what he was doing?
I mean, you don't think that, do you not think that that his war against Iraq was done in service to the demands of the Jewish lobby?
You think Jewish people support the Iraq war?
Well, I do know that the Jewish lobby promoted the Iraq war. I do know that the American Israel Public Affairs Committee lobbied behind the scenes, very, very quietly, but nonetheless lobbied behind the scenes for the first Iraq war and certainly for the second Iraq war. Yes, that's a fact.
I can't believe you're saying that. Wow,
you are telling me that the Jewish lobby did not support the Iraq war?
No. What I'm saying is you're
Listen.
What I'm saying is I'm not questioning whether the lobby supported it or not. If the lobby supported the war, you can take it the same way as if a Chinese guy supported the war.
Please. There's a difference between a Chinese American and the most powerful lobby in Washington, D.C., for God's sake.
If they were influencing Bush, why didn't they want to go to a bigger threat like Iran? Why Iraq?
What's that?
If they were really wanted to go to war, they really wanted to influence the president.
Well, I tell you, that's a very good question, and I can give you an exact answer. There was a long-standing debate in the American Jewish community and in the circles of power in the Jewish community as to whether Iraq should be the number one target or whether Iran should be the number one target.
Okay.
Why
Iraq and Iran?
Well, because those two countries are considered threats to Israel.
And no other Muslim country is? I mean, why then?
Well, no. I mean, hey, rest assured, they've got Saudi Arabia in the gun sights. They've got They've got Sudan in the gun sights. They've got Syria in the gun sights. Oh, no. They have a whole wish list of countries that they want to see destroyed.
Okay, so then why Iraq and Iran? Are they like the biggest ones to...
Well, yes, Iraq, prior to the Persian Gulf War, as they called the first one, was on the verge of being declared a first world nation because it was such an economic powerhouse. It was a progressive state that was emerging as a role model for the Arab and Muslim worlds.
It was.
And there was nothing that Israel wanted more than to see Iraq broken up into little pieces, and that's precisely what we've got today. And now, if you want to turn to Jewish newspapers, you can see that Jewish newspapers talk openly about the fact that Jewish organizations in this country have been lobbying for
why are there Jewish Democrats who are not supporters of President Bush then?
Oh, that's called slick partisanship. I guarantee you, if Al Gore had been elected president in 2000, Al Gore would have led the United States into a war against Iraq.
Well, partisanship, I mean, if you're implying that they wanted to influence Bush to go to Iraq and or Iran, technically wouldn't most Jews not be part Democratic and or not be against President Bush? There are plenty of Jewish people who criticize Bush and
absolutely.
And are against the Iraq War, I assume.
Oh, absolutely there are, and I know Jews who sincerely criticize President Bush.
So then?
Over the Iraq War. But on the whole, the Jewish power groups in this country were behind the Iraq War. Now, I've heard this argument. I have this young friend who's always saying, Senator Dianne Feinstein opposed the war. Look, yeah, of course she opposed the war because that's a partisan thing to do. I think that was a big fraud. I'll tell you what, a friend of mine, the late DeWest Hooker, one of the smartest people I ever knew, one point that he constantly drove home was the fact that for political reasons, for strategic reasons, the Jewish power bloc in this country can be found on every side of every issue for strategic reasons,
I understand. No, I understand your answer is a partisanship, but again, you go back to a lobbyist. that doesn't, the lobbyist doesn't necessarily represent the majority of Jewish population.
Well, okay, you know, you can make that argument, but they hold themselves out as representatives.
So then criticize the lobbyists. Don't generalize the Jewish population.
Well, you know, as one of our regular callers here, Jim from Texas, has pointed out repeatedly, and I think quite correctly, if Jewish people in America reject the intrigues of groups like AIPAC and the Anti-Defamation League, which is a criminal organization whose leaders should be prosecuted for the criminals that they are, if the average Jewish person in the street does not stand up and condemn these warmongers and these troublemakers and these agitators, then they too are part of the problem. Okay, we're going to the break. I really have to move on here, but I appreciate your call, but I think you have a lot to learn.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on to the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
All right, folks, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. During the break, someone called in, Byron from Canada, nice fellow. Byron called in and mentioned that famous quote from Ariel Sharon to the effect that we, the Jewish people, control America or rule America or something like that. Frankly, I have to say, I have often thought that quotation might be spurious. It's been repeated time and time and time again by many, many people, but I've always kind of had some doubts about it for reasons that which escape me at the moment. But we don't need a phony quote from Ariel Sharon to see that, yes, they do have a great deal of power in this country. That's an interesting call from California. The unlikely name of Aryan. Aryan. Anyway, we have room for a minute or two here for one more call. Let's go to Bill in Ohio. Bill, come on up.
Hey, Mike. Hey, thanks for giving that guy a tutorial. You know, all you really need to do is just use their own words, Michael, against them. I mean, I can read right out of the Encyclopedia Judaica, which is, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia was the work of Jewish brains, Jewish dissatisfaction, and Jewish planning, whose goal is to create a new order in the world. What was performed in so excellent a way in Russia shall also, through the same Jewish mental and physical forces, become a reality all over the world. That was American Hebrew, September 10th, 1920. Rabbi Weiss in 1935. Some call it Marxism. I call it Judaism.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I can go on and on and on and on with a list of this stuff.
I guess he wanted to take the position, which is a nice position, that all Jews are bad and not all Jews are working to take over the world.
Silence is acceptance. I'm sorry. At this point, silence is acceptance. You know what? Hey, Mark was right, was on the ball. Jim, there's a saying, you know, I don't want to say he was not in the ballpark. He wasn't even in the parking lot last night, or Keith from Indiana. He was, like, getting out of his car on the way to the ballpark. That's really the only way to put it. You know, the Jews and the Protestants, and Dave from Massachusetts was spot on. Oliver Cromwell, you know, they almost, in England, made the official language Hebrew.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a true story. And anyone can research that. Abortion in this country through NARAL, Bernard Nathanson, MD, director of NARAL, N-A-R-A-L, he talked about how the Jews conspired with the Protestants to dupe them, that anything, you know, quote-unquote anti-Catholic had to be good, right? And that is, in essence, divide and conquer, how they were able to achieve their victory in 1973, the Roe v. Wade. You know, Revelations 2:9 is very clear. Those that say they are Jews but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. You know, the Catholic countries now, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, Brazil, they don't practice abortion. You know, only in Protestant or Jewish countries, Israel, and the other Protestant nations that have been infiltrated, do we have abortion, where we, you know, slaughter babies. We pierce their skulls and suck their brains.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's no question about it. Let's face it, there's a good example. The abortion industry is a Jewish industry.
Of course it is. It doesn't exist in Catholic countries, you know. So you know, let's call it like it is. We have 35,000, you know, Christian sects at this point. We're divided and conquered. The Jews were also behind the rotten Protestant revolution. And again, that goes all the way back to Oliver Cromwell, Martin Luther. You know, he actually gave them passage through Saxony, thought he could convert them, couldn't. Went to ally with them, and then later wrote that treatise, you know, Jews and Their Lies.
Pretty tough talk from Martin Luther, absolutely.
Yeah. So
all right, Bill. Well, I hear the music. You know what that means, and
okay.
I know what it means. I apologize to all those callers who chimed in tonight and couldn't get up here, but I did want to have that discussion with Aryan. All right, folks. See you here tomorrow night, God willing. Say a prayer for America. We need it.
Let me tell you.